You're listening to Main Street on Prairie Public. I'm Doug Hamilton with Ashley Thornburg and Sue Balcom. It's time for Main Street Eats.
And Sue joins us once a week for Main Street Eats from her farm outside of Mandan, the Root Cellars Farm. Sue, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It's my pleasure.
We're coming up on a big holiday, not too far away from Easter, which, you know, is one of those moving around holidays. What is it, the first Sunday after the first full moon after the vernal equinox? Did I get that right? I think that's what it definitely has something to do with moon cycles.
I just go to the calendar.
I was talking to somebody just the other day, and I was like, well, you know, the meteorological spring has already happened, but we don't usually have spring. Until the 21st or something like that, you know. But I couldn't say the word meteorological. I couldn't get the word out to save my life. So I have to rely on Doug to keep us straight with those holidays. But I love Easter. Easter is like the foretelling of spring. Mm. And I was born on a Good Friday. And so I always look to the years that Easter falls on my birthday so I can get a bigger cake, you know, like a bigger bunny cake. But as a Christian, there are many, 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 many Christian traditions that surround Easter that have everything to do with food. And one of those, of course, is Easter bread, which we did in my family. And I always go out to the grocery stores after Christmas and buy up all of the candied fruit that didn't sell for fruitcake because nobody makes fruitcake anymore, and buy it for Easter bread. So I have a stash in my freezer. And as you know, Easter bread is a sweet bread. You know, it's an enriched dough, so it has lots of eggs and sugar in it. And then it's filled with almonds or pecans and raisins and candied citrus, you know, like candied lemon peel, which I just love. Candied cherries give it some color. And then it's baked, and good luck with this, it's baked in a coffee can so that it towers up, and then it has kind of a little mushroom top on it, which has an X cross kind of cut into the top of it that it kind of grows as it's baked, signifying, I'm sure, the holiday. And then it's covered with a wonderful powdered sugar frosting that you can make in any color you want to kind of match your Easter eggs. But the problem nowadays is finding a coffee can. So please don't use a plastic Folgers can in your oven.
Right. Not a good idea.
Not a good idea. And that's a little bit disappointing to not be able to find a can. But there are those food size or commercial size cans that you can get green beans and things in. So if you go to somebody who cooks, like our church cooks big meals for Wednesday nights, you can always get those great big cans. And those, well, they kind of work, but they're a little, you have to put probably the whole batch in one can. But I love Easter bread. That's one of my favorite things.
In the parts of the world where wheat is, you know, abundant and bread is everywhere, every ethnic tradition, or for that matter, nationality, seems to have a sweet bread that they favor, particularly around certain holidays.
Right. And so Easter bread is Russian, but hot cross buns. And I was going to look this up. Do you remember that poem, One a Penny, Two a Penny, Hot Cross Buns?
Mm-hmm.
That was something we learned as a child. And actually, hot cross buns are British, or they're from that part of Europe anyway. And they have a huge history of weirdness surrounding them. I think that they've made them on the Great British Baking Show. And so a hot cross bun was originally baked by a monk on Good Friday. And of course, they were symbolic of the, you know, the holiday, the upcoming holiday. And so they had that cross in them, and you can cut that cross in them. But for hot cross buns, sometimes they make a paste out of flour and water, and they actually put that in that cut that they make so that it really, really becomes a significant part of the bun. But there's this, all this weird stuff, like they're supposed to stay fresh. If you hang one from your rafter on Good Friday, the legend has it that it will remain fresh and mold free for an entire year. Hmm. And I'm like, okay. And then they break it up and mix it with water and it's medicinal. And I'm thinking, maybe it's the penicillin from the mold they didn't see on the bun. I don't know. It just sounded pretty weird to me.
Besides the sweetness of the bread, sometimes there's the way they present it as well. It's sort of an extra step, if you will, to celebrate the holiday, whether you braid it or shape it in some unique way. That becomes kind of a centerpiece of the celebration.
Right, and you've seen them too with eggs baked into them. You know, they'll make a wreath and they'll put actually Easter eggs in there that are baked. And I think you actually eat the eggs. And then there's the bunny shaped ones. You know, there's clever people that make bunny shaped ones. Actually, I think in one of the documentaries that PBS did on German cooking, they had this little old lady and she was folding these bunnies. Like she had this clever way of cutting a square and twisting it and folding these bunnies and put a couple raisins in for the eyes. The best part about her was her German accent because she sounded just like my grandmother. I think I actually teared up when I watched her make those bunnies. Easter was huge in our family. I mean, it was like a huge, huge holiday. And we always got more treats then, which of course, Kuchen was something that we always had at Easter time. And people will ask me why. And I think it's because in the spring, there was more milk and cream to be had. And the chickens start laying again once the days get long. Because I'm sure you've noticed since Christmas, the daylight has been increasingly beautiful. And it's been light way, way early in the morning. And you can go out after work and it's still light. So chickens like that. So they start laying eggs. And so you have eggs and cream and all those really wonderful things you need to make Kuchen. And, you know, besides the sweets, these holidays are also important because, you know, like the Catholics did not eat meat on Fridays, but they ate fish. And then on Good Friday, of course, everybody had prunes and noodles. Like, I think that crossed all sorts of religious boundaries. And I love fruit soup and stewed prunes. But I really love homemade noodles and prunes. And it was like a real big tradition on Good Friday to have that. And then Saturday was kind of like a dull day for everybody. You know, like we're a little downer because of Good Friday is supposed to be sad day, right? But then on Easter, glorious Easter morning, you know, you get Easter eggs and hot cross buns and caramel rolls and all that good stuff and dinner with your relatives. So it was like, yeah, I like Easter a lot.
Yeah. There's that Easter ham.
Oh, yes. One year for Easter, I used to read all these before the internet. I used to read all the old Women's Day and Family Circle magazines I could get my hands on. And so one year for Easter, my mom and I cooked together. Of course, you probably already gathered that. And I put like the cloves, you know how you put your, and these weren't Cloverdale, those tender Cloverdale hams. These were picnic hams. So they had that thick roll of fat around the outside of them. And we studded that with cloves, you know, before we baked it in the oven because we thought we were going to do something different this year. And of course, my dad, being as pragmatic and German as anybody could be, he's like, I don't know why anybody would waste their time doing that. And I'm like, well, it kind of looks pretty. And, you know, we wanted to be special for Easter. I don't think it got through the fat actually to the ham. You know, the flavor didn't.
You could smell it.
Yes.
Though.
Yes. And it's a lovely thing. I like cloves and you can stud cloves in fruit for Christmas and make ornaments that smell really nice too. But those hams, once Easter was over with, made the best ham and potato soup, the leftover ham bone we would cook. and make ham and bean soup, ham, bean, and potato soup. It was like so delightful. Yeah, there's nothing I don't like about Easter, including Easter egg hunts. You know, that was a big deal. And sunrise services, of course. That's when you got those hot cross buns and Easter bread, usually with a dyed Easter egg, if you were brave enough to get up at the crack of dawn and go to the services, which I don't think they have them as early as they did back then. But yeah, it's all good.
Well, it's a holiday, and we hope everybody has a great one. And Sue, always a pleasure to have you here for Main Street Eats.
Thank you. Happy Easter to everyone.